Well, it's my turn to say good morning and welcome and all that. So, consider yourself greeted and wanted and needed and blessed. Amen. See a couple of new faces here this morning. I'd just like to share with you that we have so many different ways you're going to like something. So just focus on that. Please pray with me as we bless this sermon this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your blessing upon this sermon and upon the delivery of this sermon, upon the reception of this sermon. Lord, may your word become even more dear to our hearts today, even more real to our walk today. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I picked several different titles for this particular sermon, and I'm not sure which one to give you because they all have a message. How about across a crooked sky? I feel almost sinful starting with the name of a movie, but there's such a message in that particular movie, Across a Crooked Sky. Raise your hand if you've seen it. Well, I just told my age. Imagine a cowboy who's captured by an Indian tribe, okay? And they try to make an Indian out of him, and it doesn't work real well. But he falls in love with an Indian maiden, okay? You're starting to get the picture. Captured cowboy, Indian maiden, love story. Well, in order for him to gain the graces of the chief, in order for him to gain the hand of the maiden, he must go through various obstacle courses and processes and ceremonies. And the last thing he must do is like this marathon where he runs through the desert and runs through the mountains and runs through the rivers and over the rocks and through the cactus and then he climbs up this wall back up to where the tribe is on top of the hill. And he has to do this before the sun shines, gets to a certain point in the sky where it shines through a crevice in a rock. And the Indians call that the crooked sky because as the sun comes through the broken rock, it makes the sky, the shining part of the sun, the brilliance is like the sky is broken, like a crooked sky. Okay? Across the crooked sky. He's got to do this. He's got to do this to gain the maiden and to gain his status as an adopted Indian. And if he does not make it in time, the maiden throws herself off the cliff and it's all over for her and, of course, for him. He goes through the obstacle course. He's barely making it. And he gets there and the sun's coming up. The crooked sky's getting ready to come through the crevice in the rock. And about 2 minutes before he gets to the top, here comes the sun and crooked sky, brilliant light. And he's like a minute late. And he looks over there on the edge of the cliff and the maiden is... He's heartbroken. And then the movie ends with a scene of all of a sudden coming up behind him is his lover, his maiden. And he's like, I thought you just died. And she says, that was my sister. She gave her life that we could be together. Hey, I got your attention. Not very spiritual, was it? But what we're talking about today is someone that gave his life for you. Someone that stood in the gap for you. We talk about Jesus hanging on the cross for us. That how many have heard the term, he died for us? He died for me. Maybe many of us have taken it to the point in our prayer life and in our meditation before him. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for sacrificing your life for me. We've got some Marines here today. One of them is going to be water baptized. He'll relate to this. He didn't just die on the cross for you. He threw himself on that grenade for you. He laid his heart on the death block for you. He put his neck on the chopping block for you. He stood in the firing squad for you. He laid on the table where they were going to inject him with deathly chemicals. He died for you in the gas chamber. He sat in the electric chair for you. Jesus Christ died in any death you can imagine. He died for you so that you could live. Like the Indian maiden, he fell off the cliff for you. You got it? This, if I quit right now, I want you to take this home with you. And we're not quitting, don't leave. But this is the message that's in my heart this morning. I want us to realize he did something for us that was so huge that it changed the world. John 3:16, quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son, and his Son gave his life that we could live. Interesting. Let's go back. Let's go back to where all this started in Genesis chapter 2. Can we do that? In Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17, and then the Lord God took man, we're talking about Adam and Eve here. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Adam, as the story goes on, Adam went ahead and ate. Eve ate first and gave it to her husband. And the human race, represented by Adam and Eve, fell into an ultimate sin against their Creator. He says, enjoy all these trees, enjoy all these plants, enjoy this garden, enjoy all of my creation, but don't touch that tree over there. Don't eat of it. And they just couldn't be satisfied with almost everything. They had to try that tree. They had to disobey God. And so there was a divine death sentence. God says, you eat of that tree, you're going to die, man. It didn't stop them from sinning. The temptation was too great. And they partook in disobedience to God. They partook of the fruit of that tree. And then comes the question from the agnostic, or maybe just someone who's ignorant of what's going on here. But they say, well, wait a minute. Adam lived a long time after that. He didn't die in the same day. Watch this. Genesis 5:5. In Genesis 5:5, so all the days of Adam were 935 years and he died. The guy lived a while, huh? And you say, well, God told him he's going to die the same day he sinned, and he lived 935 years. Give me a break. I'm glad you asked the question, what's going on here? 2 Peter 3:8. Here goes my notes. Paper airplanes. Did you find, 2 Peter 3:8, did you find it? But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He lived 935 years. Had he lived 1,000 years, it would have been one day with the Lord. But he died within the day. the thousand-year day. And so, see, the Word of God was true. God was true to His Word. Adam, by his sin, had to die. If Adam had not sinned, he could have just kept living and kept living and kept living. But he had to die within that thousand-year day to fulfill the Word of God. So why are we bringing all this up? Because I want us to see that by the Word of God, that we as part of the human race, anybody here that's not part of the human race, please. I'll have to change my message for you. But if you're part of the human race, we're going to make an exception for Mark and act like he's adopted into the human race. Yeah. Because we were born into sin through the sins of Adam, we have a death sentence over us. And what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was pay that sentence, pay that price, pay that penalty. He said to His Father, I will die for them. He died for us so that we could live. He threw Himself on that grenade, Ivan, for me and for you. And so the reason I brought these scriptures up was so we could know that there's a death sentence on our race. But God has a plan. How about isn't God's plan good? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. It'll probably come up on the board before I can find it in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just read these, 19 through 26 on the verses. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Pitiable? Pitiable? How do you say that? Pitiable? Pitiable? Pitbull? If in this life only. You know, I've got a pretty good life, but if this is all I get, where's the rest of it? You see, Paul could say this. Paul was the author of this. He could say this because he had a vision of the hereafter. He had a vision of the heavens and into the third heaven, the Bible calls it. And he's going, if all I get is this existence, this life, it's pitiable. Pitiful. Why is that word so hard for me today? Must have been the breakfast I had. Let's keep reading. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. We may have a death sentence, but Jesus is changing things. Amen? Each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those that are Christ or belong to Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when He, Christ, delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Did you know that Jesus, in His process of saving us, is working towards the total elimination of death? The end result of our salvation will be eternal life without death. Now that is good news. I want us to read Isaiah 53. And now it's going to be in the Message version. I doubt if you're carrying that version with you in your purse. But do we have it on the screen? Let's do that. The first 10 verses of Isaiah 53. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant, which is basically Jesus as a child, he grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubbly plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and he was passed over. He was a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked him down on him and thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains that he carried and our disfigurements, all things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. Now, let me stop here a minute before we go to the next one. You see, this is why the Jewish nation killed Jesus, put him on the cross, is because they thought God was punishing him. They thought that Jesus and his teachings were against the teachings of God. And when he hung on the cross, the Jewish religion of that day was saying he deserved it. He blasphemed God. That's why they put him on trial before the governor Pilate, because they says he's blaspheming God. And this is the scripture like 1,000 years before that took place. It was prophetic. Okay, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him on the cross, remember? It was our sins. He took the punishment. And that made us whole. And through his bruises, we get healed. He did all this for us. We all, like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost, we've all done our own thing and gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've ever done wrong, on him. You ever sin? It's okay to raise your hand. Mine's up. He put all of our sins on Jesus. He was beaten. He was tortured. He didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried. He was led off. Did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked. They threw him in the grave with a rich man. Even though he had never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, and more life, and God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Because of the death sentence on our whole human race, the justice of God demanded blood. And Jesus says, it's going to be my blood. I'll throw myself on that grenade. I'll jump off that cliff. I'll stand in the firing squad. Jesus said, take my blood and let them go. It's by that blood on the cross that I can say to you truthfully, your sins are forgiven. All you have to do to activate your eternal life is believe that and confess it and say, he died for me. My sins are forgiven. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin again, but it means you'll have a guilty conscience if you do, and you'll fall on your knees and say, Lord, I am sorry, sir. Please forgive me. And because of that precious blood and its working on Calvary, he will forgive you. You ask forgiveness with a pure heart, with a hungry heart towards him, he will forgive you. And you can say, my sins are forgiven because he, Jesus, died for me. Wow. It's amazing. He was our substitute. He was our substitute. I want to read some synonyms out of the dictionary. Jesus was our substitute. He died for us. Now, some of the synonyms for substitute would be a double, a relief, a fill-in, a stand-in, by proxy, an alternate, a backup, a replacement. To change, to replace, to act for, to do the work of, to replace, to supplant, to displace, supersede, take another's place, to double for, to answer for, to make a way for, to count for, serve in one's stead. And it goes on and on and on. To step up, to fill another's position, to take another one's duty, to fill in for, to take the rap for. You took the rap for me. Yeah. You ever been in jail? Well, he took the rap for you when it comes to the big jail. To fill someone's shoes. Substitution. He took the rap for me. I deserved so much more than I've got. But he loved me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. He took the rap for me. He's a good God, isn't he? I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. But because he gave it as a free gift, the only reasonable thing for me to do is accept his gift and say, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Help me to walk cleaner and more upright than ever before. Keep reminding me, Lord, that I am forgiven. Keep reminding me to repent when I fall. Lord, I just want to get closer and closer to you. Amen? You know, when we talk to someone who needs Jesus, when we talk to someone, as we talk about giving testimony to someone or witnessing to someone, you know, you don't have to tell a sinner that he's sinning. He already knows that. Huh? In fact, you don't have to tell a sinner he's sinning because he knows it already better than you. He's experiencing the process. What that sinner needs to know is that those sins are forgiven. And to activate his forgiveness, to activate the pardon, to activate the eternal life, he needs to believe in Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. I receive that. I want to walk in it. Hallelujah. Because the gift of eternal life has to be activated. The pardon that is already paid for has to be activated by our belief in our heart and our confession in our mouth. I mean, you can do that right now. You can change your life right now, but it's, you know, it just, Lord, I believe. I believe you did die for my sin. Lord, I confess you are my Lord. You did die for me. Lord, I believe that. And you just start focusing on that, your whole life will change. When he gave his life on the cross 2,000 years ago, the cross, the crucifixion, was the most torturous death of the day. And I don't know what the most torturous death of today would be, but it's probably more gory than the cross. I mean, they have invented such horrendous ways to die. Well, whatever you can imagine in your mind or find in your research about death, that's what Jesus did for you. That's the place he took for you and for me. I'm going to skip some of my notes here because I just feel like it. I need to move along. In 1 John 1, let's go to that. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Yeah. You say, I'm not a sinner. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If we confess our sins, oh, this is good. Get this, guys. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His words are not in us. No, we need to say, yes, I have sinned. Lord, I seek Your forgiveness, and by faith I receive it. By faith I receive that You have done for me. By faith I receive the gift of life. Thank You for standing in my place and tasting of death for me. Now, we're still in 1 John. Look at chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's the one that stands by you and stands before the Father and says, let him go. My blood paid for his sin. Let her go. My blood paid for the sin. Let them go free. My blood paid for all those sins. I'm telling you, Jesus is a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go now to Romans 10. Whoever's running the machine back there, the computer, Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's good news. How many want to be saved from the death sentence? Well, here's your key right here. Believe in the righteousness with your heart and with your mouth. Confession. Now, the confession is not only just confessing sins. The confession is my confession, my belief, my profession that Jesus died for me, that I believe in Him. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon Him. Watch this. Whosoever, look at somebody and say, you're a whosoever. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, save me. Man, when you do that with your heart, you do that with your mouth, you're well on your way to eternal life. He wants to save you. He's already paid the price for your salvation. He's ready to save you. He's ready to bring you into His kingdom. He did all of this so that He could be close to you and draw you unto Himself. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. We're going to read Acts 2, 36 through 41. Now this is in the beginning of the New Testament church after Jesus had died and been resurrected, and after He had ascended back to the Father, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the New Testament disciples and thousands of people there in the first church. He said, there Peter's preaching, and he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now he's talking to the crowd, he's preaching to the crowd that actually crucified Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, they realized they had just crucified Jesus, and all of a sudden they realized it was wrong. They go, what do we do? Well, Peter says, this is what you do. Then Peter says to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If that's you today and you're saying, I've messed up, like those that crucified Jesus, I've done the wrong thing. I have blasphemed Him and I have turned against Him and I've spoken evil against Him. I've used His name in vain. I've done my own thing. I've lived for the devil. I've lived for myself. What do I've done wrong. What do I do? Well, the same message is for us. Repent and be baptized. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized. I want you right where you're sitting to just close your eyes for a minute. I want to pray for you. Precious Heavenly Father, what we're talking about here is so big that sometimes our natural minds have a hard time, you know, it's hard to wrap all this around our mind. It's sometimes hard to understand, and our reasoning is grasping. How does this work? And Lord, I just pray that you'll reveal to our hearts today, reveal to our understanding how it works through Jesus, how it works through repentance, how that the death sentence has been paid for and covered. And you, Lord, took our place in that death sentence. You took our place on the cross. And Lord, now we get to go free. We get to live. And Lord, just help us to realize the blessing of this and the gift of God that is ours for receive as we receive by faith what you've done. Father, bless our hearts today as we hunger after you, as we thirst after you. Fill us and quench our thirsting souls. You know, I could lead you in a prayer, and many times we do that. It's good. But what I feel like in my heart right now, I just feel like for every one of you, and especially those of you that are hearing this maybe in your heart for the first time, hearing this in a reality for the first time, this is your opportunity right now where you are and where you sit. This is your opportunity to just quietly before the Lord say, Lord, I want this. Father in heaven, I want this. I believe you sent your son to die for me. I believe that his blood, Lord, I believe that the blood of Jesus is well able to save me. I believe the blood of Jesus was more than enough to pay the penalty. I believe that the blood of Jesus is more than enough. And I want to be saved. I want my life under this precious cleansing blood. I want my life and my soul to be in this place of faith, to receive you as my Lord. And as you hunger after these things, as you seek the Lord at this moment, He'll speak to your heart, speak to your understanding as to how you should individually pray. Each person can have an individual prayer. But out of the hunger and the thirst in your heart and in your soul, as you pray just right now, that your whole life can change right now. Your whole life can change right now. In various Bible studies, we see where it's important to make confession unto others for what God has done for us. If you feel God has been changing your heart today, if you feel there's a cleansing process taking place today, as you talk to the Lord, share that with others and say, you know, something's happening in my heart. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, something's happening in my heart. I'm becoming a believer, and it's changing my feelings, my heart, my desire. Something's happening in my heart. You know, I've heard this message many times, and I can feel it happening in my heart right now. He stood in my place. The devil threw a grenade at my feet, and Jesus dived and covered it. Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask for a little bit of some kind of easy listening music. And I want our baptism candidates to go back here in the dressing room behind the blue curtain. And you guys that are going to get in the water, go ahead. Mitch and Peter are going to help us today. When Nina was doing announcements, she talked about people who have felt like they should do this, even if they didn't come to church prepared. Well, this is your opportunity. It's open to you. If you feel in your heart you want to be baptized, this is your opportunity. It won't hurt you to go home wet. It's supposed to be 104 degrees in Douglas today. Might feel good to go home wet. Let's all get baptized. I want to read a scripture to you in the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28 of Matthew. How many have never watched a water baptism? Raise your hand if you've never watched a water baptism. You're going to love this. You have to bring your camera? You bring your camera? Yeah, well, you need to be over here close. Come on over right now. Anybody wants to take pictures, you get right up here close. This is not something so sacred that we're afraid of it, but rather it's so sacred we want to be close to it, okay? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Please feel free to take pictures. You guys go ahead and come into the water when you're ready. Be sure and take your billfold out of your pants. In the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples and his followers. He said, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And so just before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he taught his disciples that they were to baptize in water baptism. Now, go ahead and come on in, Omar. Come in, get ready. Yeah, you might want to move that so his foot doesn't get sucked up in that recirculator there. You see, water baptism will not save you. Water baptism will remind you that you are saved. Nina said so much of it when she was here. When you go under the water, it's symbolic of death. If he held you down, it'd be death. It's so symbolic. But when he raises you up, it's symbolic of resurrected life. You're put to death, you're brought to life. It's all symbolism. But it is a very powerful lifetime reminder that what you're doing is giving witness to your salvation. You are relating to the death, burial, and resurrection of your Lord. You're relating to this. Me too. Amen? Do you get this, guy? Say, I got it. Amen. Are you about ready? You'll probably want to pinch your nose. And don't try to breathe underwater. You know? El marino para Cristo. I honor you for your time with the Marines. He was a 20-year man with the Marines. I think that deserves a hand, huh? And the next 20 years is for your Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus?
I believe in Jesus.
Did he die for you?
Yes, he did.
Are your sins covered by the blood?
Yes, they are.
We hereby baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless this man, this Son of God. We bless him, Lord, and we thank you for his public witness to his new life in Christ. Lord, we just pray that the blessing of God be upon him and his family. And Lord, that they as a whole family, Lord, that they give testimony to the goodness of God. That they'll give testimony to everybody they know that Jesus changes lives. That Jesus is their Savior and He is their healer. Lord, that they'll give testimony to all the good things that You're doing with them. Lord, we bless Omar and his family. We bless them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Yes, amen. God bless you, Omar. Amen. Would you little kids like to come up closer and watch? You can come up here by me. You know, when John the Baptist was on the River Jordan baptizing Jesus and all those other people, all the kids came up close to the riverbank so they could see. Oh, Robert. Robert, I want to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Are your sins under His blood?
Yeah, I am.
And you're born again?
Yeah.
And you're ready to serve Jesus all your days?
Yeah, I am.
I believe this man loves the Lord, don't you? Amen. How long have you known the Lord?
All my life.
All your life. But now you're going to make a public testimony. Give a witness that you belong to Jesus. You died with Him and you're resurrected with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and get him ready. Pinch your nose so the water won't go up your nose. Are you ready? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hey, wait just a minute. I want to pray with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for Robert. Thank you for his love for you, for his testimony, Lord. Thank you for blessing him and changing his life. Thank you, Lord, for giving him a new life in Christ Jesus. Bless him with strength. Bless him with hope. Bless him, Lord, with health, a sound mind. Fill his heart and life with your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Well, we can do that. Amen. Come on down. Where'd you coming, girl? Coming running. Okay, she's on the way. Everybody happy? You know, wouldn't it be cool to live close to a river? You know, in the Bible, they went down to the river to baptize. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool to be close to a river and just go get baptized in the river? Yeah. Maldo got baptized in the river up at Cave Creek, wasn't it? Over by Portal, Cave Creek and over there. Yeah. That water was cold, wasn't it? The mountain water, the snow, the melted snow water came down out of the mountain over by Cave Creek, and our son Bobby and it was Ruben Cermeño. There were several guys went with you guys over there. Baptized in that cold mountain water. Woo! We have a little heater. This water is real pleasant. Take her by the hand. Hi, Lupita. Do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus with all my heart.
Your heart belongs to Jesus and William?
Yes. First the Lord.
But first the Lord. That's we keep things in order here, huh? Amen. God loves you so much. Did you know all your sins are under the blood?
I do. Yes, I do.
And if you ever sin again, it'll be under the blood if you keep it there.
Yes, it will. Amen.
Lupita, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and under His authority, under His name and blessing, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Blessings, 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 blessings. Father, fill this life with blessings. Fill her body with health, her mind with sanity, her spiritual heart with hunger for you. And just bless her, bless her, bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Where'd all the kids go? They left me. Anybody else? Don't be bashful. The water feels good. I want to get in. It feels so good. See, if we were doing this by the river, we could all go swimming after lunch, huh? Folks, God is good. And when we receive His gift of life and give a public witness that we are believers, His blessing is even richer on us. Amen? Would you please stand? And let's pray together, asking God's blessings. Father, we want to thank you so much for this service, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of those that have received water baptism today. And Lord, we thank you for all of us that we have heard your word today. We pray that what we've heard from your word will be rich in our hearts. And day by day, may the revelation truth of your word just get richer and richer to our understanding. And Lord, as we continue this service by fellowshipping over food, and as we go to the dining room to enjoy one another and enjoy the food, we ask your blessing on the food and ask your blessing upon all the ones that made the food, Lord, and their labor of love towards this end. And Lord, we just bless you, Lord. You are such a good God, and we love you so much. Lord, we want to go tell the world that Jesus lives. We want to tell the world we live in, out there where we work and go to school. We want to tell them, God's changing my life. Father, thank you for your help and for your blessing upon us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, if you can, please stay and eat with us. And if you're a mother with children, go get in line first. God bless you richly.